Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Here, Beck, have this. We're about to jump into the Splash beer.
Oh, can we do that?
No. The Splash is brought to you by Rooter Ranger Plumbing. Plumbers you can trust for any of your plumbing services. Call 888-7-RANGER to get you out of plumbing danger.
All right, today, day three of the Cardinal OTAs. Day three for us broadcasting live from the Dignity Health Training Center at the Arizona Cardinals facility. Today, we will be joined by more football players.
Yes, we will.
Yes, we are.
Rookie wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson will join us.
That's good.
And offensive lineman Justin Pugh making another appearance on
Dan's
the show.
Dan's favorite, big, sweaty offensive lineman.
I love big, sweaty offensive linemen.
Bic is going to be like in his element because big, sweaty offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Pugh is a very engaging personality, very entertaining guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Chris Melvin of the Arizona Cardinals media relations staff is the biggest fan on planet Earth of Vinny Joe Trivia.
Uh-huh.
So he's set up another match with Justin Pugh. And the topic, right down, right in your wheelhouse, Game of Thrones.
I'm giving you a heads up right now. I think I'm going to end up disappointing you because
well, we're playing two
not,
on one. Like
okay.
we get to be a team, and I
All
will
right.
contribute nothing.
Okay. All right. I'll do it my best. It's like when people. It's like I don't have a great catalog of names and places and all that stuff from Game of Thrones.
It's from all those pre-vacation beers.
Uh-huh. Pre-Game of Thrones beers. That's what it is. That's on my list, right?
Yeah. Still no Patrick Peterson at OTAs. Veterans that were gone on Monday on day one of the voluntary OTAs, Larry Fitzgerald, David Johnson, among them on the field yesterday, but no Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, and that is kind of a sign that everything is still not okay, nor will it be okay. I'm curious exactly what this means going forward, whether there's another trade request in place, exactly what's going on. We'll find out eventually. But yes, we'll be heavily focused, as always, on the Arizona Cardinals, particularly among an ESPN ranking that kind of has them as one of the more intriguing teams of the NFL offseason.
Yes, Mike Sando put together his list with help from anonymous sources around the league, executives and such, and the Cardinals did make that list. We can dive into some of the details of that coming up.
Looking forward to that. All right, item number two, the Phoenix Suns. They made quite a splash yesterday with the unveiling of Monty Williams, who handled the press conference about as well as he could without trying to win the press conference. You know what I mean? It wasn't fire and brimstone. It wasn't a surprise. It was just a guy being himself.
It's a perfect way to put it. Self-deprecating humor. A lot of talk about evolution career-wise and failures, which was really refreshing to hear. Really enjoyed the press conference. Really enjoyed our conversation with Monty Williams as well. And then when Monty Williams tells us, hey, I asked Jerry Colangelo about this, and he endorsed the Suns, and the Suns endorsed Monty Williams to Robert, or he endorsed the Suns, Monty Williams to the Suns in a conversation with Robert Sarver.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was a good day.
Yeah.
It, you know, does it wash away the pain of not getting the number one pick in the draft lottery? Maybe not, but it was a really, really good first step in that right direction again.
Yeah, you know what will be, you know when I know things will be back to whole?
When
Robert Sarver announces the statue of Jerry Colangelo going up outside the arena. That's when I know everything is whole.
Maybe that'll be part of the renovation.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, item number three, the NBA playoffs last night. The Raptors tie up a series. They blow out Milwaukee. Drake has become the worst NBA fan in the game as of right now.
Has become?
Is.
No, he's just running away with the title now.
Oh, man.
I have a complaint about Drake, okay?
Oh, I've got a lot of them.
So, he apparently has the world's largest jersey collection, mm-hmm. and he shows up all of these places, jinxing all these franchises. Yet here he is, this Toronto Raptors super fan, with unfettered access to walk the sideline like he's a member of the damn coaching staff.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't wear one shred of Raptors clothing to any of these games. You notice that?
Yeah, you're right.
He just bugs, man.
He's the worst. He's the most overrated musician. Among the most overrated musicians I've ever heard, and he is a jerk face of a sports fan. I mean, seriously, the trolling of Giannis, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, Giannis' reps have had to come out and pretty much admonished Drake for his behavior.
I'm going to be honest with you. His agent or his representative, Giannis's representative, made a real great point. Could you imagine a marquee athlete showing up to a concert, sitting in VIP seats, and just mercilessly trolling the performer? You think the performer would like that?
No.
And that's there's a difference between being a great sports fan, like Eddie Vedder, who's a great sports fan, and then going there and just making yourself part of the story.
I think, and people bring up the Spike Lee example. I think Spike Lee is a really good fan.
Yeah.
Now, does he cross the line sometimes? Yeah, we've seen it. Everybody remembers the big exchange he had with Reggie Miller in that Pacers playoff series. That was classic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Drake just trying to get under people's skin.
Yeah, that's...
And it's working.
Yeah, he's trying to get under
people's
skin.
Because here we are talking about him.
He's trying to get under people's skin, and he's also trying to bring as much attention to himself as possible. When I saw him give a shoulder massage to Nick Nurse...
Yeah.
Still one of the greatest names for any NBA coach in history.
Can I make another point on this series? It's tied now 2-2, as the Raptors did win 120-102 last night in Game 4. I believe the Bucks are the better team, but things are getting interesting, and one of the things that I'm really enjoying watching in this series is Eric Bledsoe's struggle.
Oh, you're enjoying that, are
you? I'm really enjoying that. Is that petty of me?
Yes.
Okay, I'll take it. I'm enjoying it. He has not been good in this series at all.
No.
In fact...
No, he hasn't.
He played the third most point guard minutes on the Bucks yesterday. Started, played under 21 minutes, but George Hill and Malcolm Brogdon are both getting more points, or more minutes at the point, because Eric Bledsoe can't shoot the ball.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about this, but I do think that a Toronto Golden State NBA final, it doesn't...
Why, because Kawhi is not as exciting a superstar as Giannis? Is that why?
Kind of, because I think Milwaukee is, you're looking at, with Giannis, you're looking at the MVP, and it's just the whole Milwaukee thing. And I'm not trying to be, you know, a xenophobe here and hate on a team from a foreign country. But at the same time, Milwaukee versus Golden State, I think, just works better. You don't think so?
I try to guard against judging the quality of a series before it actually happens. I think Toronto and Milwaukee are evenly matched teams, and I think both of them will put up about the same amount of fight against Golden State, especially if Kevin Durant is there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll judge a series after it's over from now on.
Speaking of Kevin Durant, I'm glad you brought him up. There's a lot of stuff swirling around Kevin Durant. The most notable would Mark Stein throwing out there, and Mark does not speculate wildly. Mark is like the opposite of Jason Lockenfora. He said, don't be surprised if Kevin Durant ends up with the Clippers. What if the Knicks get aced out of this whole offseason?
The Knicks and the Lakers.
Yeah. Could you imagine that?
The Clippers seem to be everybody's sexy recent choice of, here's a team to watch. They're moving in the right direction. They actually made some trades at the deadline last year that people said, hey, you're in contention for the playoffs. What are you doing? And they didn't miss a beat. That could be a team to watch, and it could be also in the process of turning Los Angeles into a, dare I say it, Clippers town.
Yeah.
How about that?
I'll believe it when I see it, but everybody...
Clipper Daryl showed up at that Lakers fan rally.
Look, there are too many people I respect saying that the Clippers are going to turn the corner because of the money and because of... The Steve Ballmer guy, who is really just a whack job, apparently players like him.
Yeah, it's easy to like a guy who's signing your checks that has $1 trillion.
That's
true.
Yeah, that's a good point. How did he make his money, Steve Ballmer?
Microsoft.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's one of those
little
Microsoft
startup companies.
Yeah, little startup company.
You might have heard of it.
Yeah. That's exactly right. All right, Major League Baseball, the Diamondbacks lost again yesterday. They are looking to avoid the sweep today. And Mike Hazen, visiting with the morning show this morning, says he's as frustrated as fans are with what he's been seeing.
Yeah, I mean, these games are following a pattern. Good starting pitching, one pitch here or there, again for the second straight night, sixth inning home run, Eric Hosmer, two-run shot off Zach Greinke, and there you go. Diamondbacks can't generate any offense. They are in danger of getting swept today in San Diego. And a discussion that we had on the show yesterday was brought up on the morning show with Mike Hazen, and it might have a little bit of teeth to it. We'll get back into that later.
Yasmani Tomas.
A way maybe to kickstart the offense. It's not a done deal and not an impossibility, but it's somewhere in that gray area in between.
All right, I find it kind of ironic that the city of Toronto might get a team into the NBA Finals, yet can't get the Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup Finals ever, right? The NHL Stanley Cup Finals are set. Yes, they haven't even started yet, folks. The Boston Bruins and the St. Louis Blues.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this rematch since 1970, yeah, and
sure
finally we have it.
Sure, yeah.
For the win, the blog on USA Today put out a short piece, Why St. Louis Sports Fans Might Hate Boston, and they pointed out the 1970 Stanley Cup Finals, Boston beat St. Louis. 2004 World Series, Boston beat St. Louis. 2013 World Series, Boston defeats St. Louis. Super Bowl, New England over St. Louis. They didn't even mention the three times the Boston Celtics beat the St. Louis Hawks in the NBA Finals from 1957 to 1961. Boston's got everybody's number, but stand in line. If you're waiting for this parade of titles like Boston has, you're going to be waiting a long time. Now, St. Louis has got over on Boston twice. The Hawks beat the Celtics in 58, and the Cardinals beat the Red Sox in 67. But it's been a one-sided city-on-city rivalry.
Okay, so say the Bruins win. Right now, the New England Patriots have the Super Bowl trophy. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Boston Red Sox.
The Boston Red Sox have the World Series trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bruins might have the Stanley Cup trophy.
Yeah. But the Celtics, who advanced to the second round of the playoffs, are the team that everybody... They suck.
They suck.
That was their worst postseason showing in this current cycle of seasons that we're in. It's a different planet altogether. Kudos to them.
It's crazy to me. I mean, it really is. You go back to the year that the Patriots first won the Super Bowl, and you think about Boston and what Boston was like. And I remember Boston having this image as a sports town where they were never happy about anything. Everything about Boston is fatalistic. You just kind of are grumpy because of the climate and the weather and the winters and just,
yeah.
You're conditioned to believe that life is hard, brutal, brutally hard. And now you look at where they're at now in 2019 and the amount of championships they've accumulated, it is just a joke.
Well, have you ever seen the movie Fever Pitch? Jimmy Fallon and Drew Barrymore?
No.
It's about an obsessed Red Sox fan, and they happened to release the movie and film it during the 2004 season.
Oh, that's right.
So they had to change the ending of the movie and all that stuff. But there's scenes in that movie where there's just Red Sox fans commiserating about how miserable they are and they'll never break the curse of the Bambino. That was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's been a citywide lifting of a curse.
Oh, completely.
Not that the Celtics have ever really had a drought.
Man, if we could just get a piece of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How about just two playoff teams at once? Can we do that?
That would be nice.
Too much to ask for?
I don't think so.
All right. Those are your topics today. Things we are getting into.